Hello, everyone. This is David Hughes with the Marketing Group at Worldwide Technology, welcoming you to the latest episode of our podcast series, Tech 17, where we explore enterprise technology trends and their impact on both IT and the business enterprise. So today we're going to be talking about it's basically a follow-up podcast that we did from last year, and it's going to be the topic of DevOps. But today we're going to talk in a little more detail about a topic, a deeper dive into a topic related to DevOps. We're going to be talking about DevOps as it relates to containers and microservices. So before we get started, I want to introduce our participants today. So some three of our subject matter experts from Worldwide Technology, and that's Jason Guibert, Matt Perry, and Paul Richards. Guys, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us, David.
Thank you.
Good. Glad to have everyone on board today. So, I'm recording from our global headquarters here in St. Louis. Matt is also here in St. Louis. Jason is joining us from Seattle, and Paul is joining us from New Jersey, near the Philadelphia area. So, Jason and Paul are principal consultants here at Worldwide. And Matt is a director of delivery engineering. Matt works for our Asynchrony division here at Worldwide, and they deliver software development for our customers. So, guys, before we get started, maybe if I could just kind of do a quick go around the room, so to speak, and if you could just kind of tell our listeners a little bit about about your role here at Worldwide. So, Jason, maybe we can start with you and then go on to Matt and Paul.
Sure. So yeah, I'm Jason Guibert. I've been at Worldwide for about 8 years. I work in our East Region office of the CTO, and there our role is to, we sort of keep an eye out for emerging technologies that will benefit our customers and then try to develop solutions and services based on those technologies. And then we also work directly with customers to plan and design complex or multi-technology solutions and provide some project oversight for those things.
Okay, great. So Matt, you want to go next?
Yeah, so I'm Matt Perry. I've actually been with Asynchrony for 14 years. And so I lead a group of delivery engineers, which are engineers that we embed on our software delivery teams that kind of help implement and improve the tools and processes used by our development teams.
Okay, great. And how about you, Paul?
Sure. My name is Paul Richards. I've been with Worldwide in total for about 6 years. Just like Jason, cover commercial East Enterprise, and we focus a lot on our automation and cloud initiatives and DevOps for our customers.
Okay, cool. All right, guys. Well, let's jump into it. So, just very quickly, for those of you listeners who haven't had a chance to listen to the episode we recorded last year on DevOps, and by the way, I would certainly encourage you to go back and listen to it for sure, just in case you haven't. But we kind of did kind of a big picture, had a big picture discussion of DevOps, and Paul and Jason were on the podcast with us at that time. And we basically talked about DevOps, which, you know, I guess technically, guys, is that intersection of development and operations, and really just kind of, and I'm sure you guys will correct me if I mistake a little bit, but basically DevOps is really that process that facilitates the process of consumers receiving the solutions that are created by the developers, and then also that loop of the consumers getting feedback to the developers. So everything kind of in between is kind of where DevOps lies, or just makes that, you know, process enhances it, makes it flow more efficiently. And we covered a few things like, you know, what are the primary benefits that, you know, DevOps brings to organizations in terms of their IT infrastructure, what are some of the pitfalls to consider when implementing it. And then we kind of closed by talking a little bit about dealing with legacy infrastructures and just making DevOps a little more cloud native. So what we're going to do today is just kind of focus a little bit more on one particular topic, as I mentioned at the top of the episode, which is containers and microservices. So maybe, Matt, we'll have you lead us off. So maybe for our listeners, if you could just give us a little bit, maybe, you know, a quick definition of, you know, what containers are and, you know, what are some of the, you know, what's basically the technology value that it provides. And then maybe Jason can jump in and talk a little bit about the business value that it provides. So Matt, you want to start us off?
Yeah, so a container image is really just it's kind of a standalone executable package of software. What's interesting about it, though, is it includes everything needed to run an application. So you'll have your code, your runtime, your system tools, and things like system libraries all kind of in that single package. I think what's nice about that is when I think about DevOps, I think about how do you enable flow, amplify feedback, and create a culture of experimentation. And I think containers in the way that it helps streamline the packaging, provisioning, and even provides like an immutable delivery that it allows organizations to take advantage of shortened feedback loops. They're able to get things from a developer's laptop out to production more quickly. And then it also enables having a microservices architecture that you can set up to allow you to scale your system whenever it's needed.
Okay. All right, great. Well, Jason, do you want to kind of touch on it as it relates to kind of what the, you know, what the business value that containers can bring?
Sure. It's if you think about containers as an enabling technology for trying to achieve DevOps in your organization, where really it's, you know, we've heard these words before. It's, I would say it's four things. It's agility, scalability, resilience, and flexibility. So from a business point of view, what do we mean by that? So agility, right? That's just being able to deliver software faster so we can keep up with the competition or out-innovate our competition. Scalability, right? That's the idea to be able to respond to demand and scale out your application quickly. So think of retail and Black Friday. You know, I'm not going to miss an order because my website couldn't handle the number of connections. But then conversely, you know, when that peak demand is over, then I don't have a bunch of idle resources that I'm paying for sitting out there doing nothing, right? So I can automatically scale up and down. For resilience, so this, the idea that if you've designed your applications appropriately using techniques like microservices and encapsulating them in containers, it's much more likely that an application will survive an anomalous event like a hardware failure or network connectivity issues, or even hacking or denial of service attacks, right? So customers can still transact business and the firm can continue to operate even if those events are occurring. And then lastly is flexibility, right? Containers make it a lot easier to get to that nirvana state of being able to write once and deploy anywhere. So you've heard that in our hybrid cloud podcast, you heard it in our first DevOps podcast, right? That's really what we're trying to get to, be able to write the code once and deploy it anywhere. So from a business point of view, that means I can avoid being locked in to a particular platform or software vendor or cloud provider, right? So as market conditions change, I can adjust how and where my application is deployed, either for cost savings or for different capacity requirements or to take advantage of a new capability from a provider.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, guys. Kind of the next thing that that I wanted to cover, and we do this in a lot in the podcast, is, you know, just to ask, you know, some of our subject matter experts who deal with our customers, is that kind of what are they hearing from, you know, people that we work with or deal with, I should say, I guess, you know, what our customers are telling us. So I guess, you know, maybe I'll start with Paul on this, you know, and Paul, maybe you can kind of talk about in terms of adopting DevOps. What are you hearing from your customers in terms of what are some of the challenges?
Yeah, sure. So one of the common themes that we hear often when having conversations about this with our customers is there are so many options. Where do we start? And a lot of times the customer hasn't made that decision yet because there's a fear of making the wrong decision. You know, IT has been a victim of hype before. So, you know, when you hear containers and DevOps and microservices, you know, there's a lot going on and they don't want to make that same mistake and spend the next 2 years digging out of that hole. So, you know, a lot of it is how do we get started with DevOps? Additionally, there's also the forced adoption of technology, you know, and that pressure comes from, you know, either the line of business and for the reasons that Jason mentioned, you know, the agility, the scalability, the resiliency, they want that for their applications that their customers are using. So they go back to IT and say, hey, we need containers and we need to do DevOps and we need microservices and we need all these things. And that sort of forces the adoption of the technology and then leads to some hasty decision making. So, you know, if they start to adopt the containers and deploy something like Docker, they may do something crazy and containerize everything, you know, from all the monolithic applications that they have to databases. And I'm not saying that's a wrong thing to do or the right thing to do, but it is, it's something that they, that we've seen. And it reminds me a lot of the days when virtualization started to become very prevalent inside the data center, right? You know, you start to deploy these VMs and start to install the software on the VMs, but you neglect the security aspects of it, or, you know, you don't take into consideration there's a backup and recovery component, or how do we deal with storage in this, you know? So I see containers following a very similar pattern.
Okay. So, Matt, did you have anything that you want to add, and Jason as well, just in terms of some of the adoption challenges that you're hearing from your customers?
Yeah, another thing that I think I've seen with a lot of customers is they start moving to containers and, you know, adopting it. They don't realize the complexity that comes with running containers in production. So distributed systems are hard, and when you're running a distributed system, you have to think a little bit differently. You know, how does an application fail, but the whole application doesn't break? So you have to have like a circuit breaker kind of architectural pattern. And as you're spinning up containers and spinning them down, how do you get telemetry from that, right? How do you log that? How do you get observability into the system to understand what's going on?
Okay.
And yeah, a lot of times I would say that's just because the some of the operational rules, like say from, you know, security operations team, for example, they might base all of their requirements on a fixed IP address for a, you know, for an asset. And in the world of DevOps and containers and microservices, everything is ephemeral. So things are getting created and destroyed all the time. So you can still do the same level of monitoring, but, you know, the IP address for in this example, that might not be the best point of demarc for how you're going to look at it. Right? So those are the kinds of things you have to think about to operationalize this technology.
Yeah, there's definitely an underestimating happening when it comes to the impact on operations, you know, with the tools and the adjacent technologies and teams that are in IT. You know, they definitely need to take those types of things into consideration. Like you were saying with IP addresses, you know, do we do static IPs? Do we do dynamic? You know, how does that work? And the same thing with storage and backup and recovery.
Okay. Yeah, and again, you know, like you'll hear from security and compliance folks in large organizations that they push back against some of these newer technologies because it's going to change or they believe it's going to make it harder for them to get the telemetry that they need, when in some cases that can actually make it easier and more efficient. You know, to take patch management, for example, you know, if everything's based on Docker containers and I need to deploy a new patch for an operating system, I do that once and everything in my inventory gets it, without a bunch of heavy lifting and without taking outages. So that's a pretty powerful concept.
So, you know, thanks for kind of sharing some of those adoption challenges. And I guess to kind of take it to the next step, what would be, and maybe I'll throw this to Matt first. So Matt, if you can, you know, for those organizations that have been able to successfully adopt DevOps, what would be some of the kind of, you know, is there, you know, one or two kind of real world examples or use cases that you can share with us?
Yeah, I think really when adopting DevOps and even getting more into containers and stuff, we've seen success when starting small, starting with greenfield development projects. So creating a new application, getting experience, you know, with what containers is and how do you run it from a development and operations standpoint. We do a lot of co-development here at Asynchrony Lab, so we'll work with customers, pair with their development team and help them kind of, you know, pass along our experiences and what we've learned doing these types of projects. Some customers will try to jump in and start with containerizing everything, right? Or maybe a legacy project in this monolithic application that's just not built in kind of a way that's easy to break that apart. So that's where we've seen the best example of that.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. Maybe just kind of our remaining minutes here. So let's kind of focus a little bit more specifically, you know, take a couple of minutes to talk about some of the solutions that we're offering here at WWT and, you know, maybe some of the things that you guys have been, you know, directly involved with in terms of providing these kinds of solutions to customers. So maybe, Jason, we could start with you.
Absolutely. So if you've spent any time interacting with folks from worldwide, you've probably heard about our ATC, Advanced Technology Center. right? So this is, it's our lab environment, and it's set up so that we can carve out isolated space for customers, you know, a private workspace where you can deploy whatever you want. You have remote access to it, right? And then we have every kind of hardware and software title you could imagine available. So what does that mean for our customers? This gives you a place to do your experimentation without having to worry about the time or cost or space of setting it up yourself, right? But that can also be intimidating. And what we're seeing more recently is that, you know, we'll give customer a login for this environment, and then they're just sort of deer in headlights. So, okay, great. Now what do I do, right? So we've come up with this idea of sort of a guided access program where you have subject matter experts for the type of project that you're doing or the type of technology that you're experimenting with. And then you can also see how that technology interacts with other resources we have available in the lab.
Okay, that sounds good. Matt and Paul, do you have anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, I'll add, you know, we're seeing, I think every customer we talk to on both sides worldwide in the Synchrony Labs, when we're talking to our customers, people are bringing up cloud native environments. You know, how do we develop in this new way? And so we're seeing a lot of people and helping them with developing applications that are really decoupled from the underlying infrastructure. So it allows the customer to have a more portable environment where they can move applications either on-prem or to public cloud or have a hybrid cloud kind of setup. And they're also looking for help, you know, creating scalable and fault-tolerant environments. So that's something that we get pulled into a lot, and we help customers get started in their journey down that path.
Okay. So, Paul, I'll give you the last word on this one.
Yeah, great. You know, both points, you know, that Jason and Matt brought up are great. You know, the ATC and what Asynchrony Labs can do to help with that. But, you know, I think back, and if I'm a CIO, I want to have a business case before I bring in any new technology into the data center. And as a technologist, you know, that might not be your most favorite thing to do, is to sit there and write a business justification and outline the risks and identify all the costs and all those other things that are associated with it. But at Worldwide, we have a team of chief technology advisors, and these guys are former C-level executives, you know, former CIOs and CTOs, and they have that experience, you know, because they've requested those business cases in the past, and they've written them in the past. So we can also help and provide the guidance to the teams, to IT, to help create that business justification. And then once we go through that process, we can also take the business objectives that are identified in that case and start to map the technology objectives back. This way we can start to test these things inside the ATC. You know, I mentioned earlier about some of the challenges, you know, where to start. You know, this is one of those areas and how we can help avoid the confusion and help get off to a good footing.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Paul. So maybe just for our last question, and Paul kind of addressed one from his standpoint, so I'll maybe just kind of have Jason and Matt very quickly touch on this. This is we've kind of been doing this lately. This is, I guess, sort of the public service part of our podcast, where we kind of put on our CIO hat, and it's sort and it's basically we ask our you know, experts to basically, if they had one question that a CIO should be asking themselves, you know, when evaluating a, you know, particular technology practice that we're talking about. So I guess so Jason kind of already addressed one, but maybe I'll start with Paul first and then Matt. So guys, just real quickly, if you were a CIO, you know, what should you be asking yourself when you're trying to evaluate your own app stack to see if you're getting the most value out of it? So.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, as a CIO, I want to look for that one thing that I can do to increase my company's revenue, and that's improving the time to market. And so I start to focus my attention on the areas in the stack that can cause the most pain. And I think that number one thing would be the time it takes to deploy new features. You know, we hear a lot about some of the reasons why it takes so long. You know, there's the aging architecture. There's the, you know, complex monolithic app architecture that's very sensitive, and you don't want to touch it all the time. So you do those annual deployments, and, you know, there's just a lot that can go wrong with it. So while containers won't, you know, solve world hunger, but they will help with deploying new features quickly, but it's going to take a lot of time and it's going to take a lot of planning to get it right.
Yeah, I would echo that. It's, you know, adopting DevOps is as much about a cultural change as it is about an architectural or tooling change, right? So as a C-level executive, you've got to recognize that. You have to be willing to accept that it's going to require a change to how your teams are organized, to how work gets done, and maybe to the types of skills you have in your department, right? So you have to support the initiative of the folks that are trying to achieve, a DevOps culture. And you have to be willing to invest time. You know, it's not going to happen overnight. You have to be willing to invest the time and the resources and the people to make it happen.
Okay. Well, guys, if this would end world hunger, I think we'd really have something there.
Yeah, we would
really have something.
We could write an app for that.
Well, hey, Mac, get on it. But no, guys,
deploy it on containers.
Yeah. No, great conversation. We were talking a little bit. You know, this is obviously a very intensely followed topic. We were talking about before. I shared with the guys that the DevOps episode we recorded last year is our second most popular episode. So I'm sure this one will be right behind it as well. So again, this wraps up this episode of Tech17. And again, I want to thank Jason, Matthew, and Paul for joining us today. So guys, thanks again.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
All right, thanks guys. Thanks. And again, for our listeners, thanks for joining us. If you are not a subscriber of Tech17, please subscribe. It is free. It's available on iTunes and all podcast platforms. And also, check out the episode notes for this podcast. We will have some links to some more detailed content where you can get a little deeper dive into some of the topics that the guys talked about today as they sit on WWT.com. So thanks for joining us today, and we will catch you next time on Tech17.